verse 57, the Bible says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." I want to look at just a few things here in this passage of Scripture this evening on finding favor with God. Finding favor with God. And as you look at these verses, you can't help but see the effect of God's Word in the lives of God's people. And I believe if we read the Bible, I believe it will have a great effect on our lives. If we read it with the intentions of getting something from it instead of just reading it. So many times I find myself just reading. You know, just reading my devotions in the morning, just hurrying through them, trying to get through them, and just to say I've read that portion of Scripture. But I believe if we read the Word of God, we can't help but see the effect that God's Word will have on people when we begin to desire it and desire it to change our lives. And but we find that most people see the Bible as a book of do's and don'ts, a book of simple instructions for simple people. And they see it as a cane or a crutch for people that are weak and have trouble standing on their own. But I believe as Christians, we know the Bible is the revelation of God to man. And we know that it is the inerrant and infallible, inspired Word of God. And in this passage, I believe we see three things here by way of introduction that the psalmist stated here. Number one, he entreated for the favor of God with his whole heart. If we're going to find favor with God, I believe we're going to have to be like the psalmist, that we're going to have to do it with our whole heart. I don't believe we'll ever find the favor of God so much in our lives until we get wholeheartedly desiring to accomplish that and to have God's favor shown to us. And then he thought on his ways and turned from them. I think it does good every once in a while just think upon our ways. What are we doing? Which direction are we going? What are we trusting in? What are we leaning on? But we find the psalmist, he thought on his ways and turned from those ways. And then number three there, he made haste to keep God's commandments. If there's ever been a time, Jesus said over there in the book of the Gospel, said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so that the Bible is just a bunch of a book of do's and don'ts that if we're going to be right with God, we got to just stay on our toes and we're not under the law. But I believe that when we fall in love with Jesus and we fall in love with God's Word, I believe we'll find that we'll have the favor of God shining in our lives and we'll desire more and more to keep His commandments. That'll be a desire, I believe, that God has to give us, that we don't want to offend in anything. He gave the Ten Commandments for a reason. I mean, without Ten Commandments, I mean, today, all the laws that we got derived from those Ten Commandments that God gave Moses, and there'd be utterly chaos out here in this world. I mean, if you're living, you're going to have to live by some laws of the land. And if we didn't have those, we'd be in a mess this evening. And I believe it shouldn't be too hard for a child of God to be obedient, to love God's Word, and to apply God's Word, and seek God's direction, and to seek God's favor through His Word. And I want to look at just three things here this evening about finding favor with God, and look at the psalmist and the things that he had in his life. First of all, we see the psalmist had, we find that he had a deep conviction. He had a deep conviction about some things. He said there in verse 57 again, he said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word." That's a pretty strong statement there. A person that's going to have any, that's going to keep God's word is going to have some convictions, about their life, about, the things that they're involved in, the direction in which they're going. And he said there, the number one, he said, "Thou art my portion." So we see the portion there. And I believe in this passage, this word is used to describe the rest and satisfaction that leave nothing else to be desired. And that's what he wanted for his life. He wanted God to be his portion. He wanted, that's all he wanted. That's all he needed. And that was what he was looking for in his life, was for the Lord to be his portion. And the psalmist says here, he has received the Lord with everything to satisfy. He has received in the Lord everything to satisfy his heart. And I believe a person that really gets close to the Lord and having a relationship with him, I believe that that will satisfy every need of our heart when we get to that place and desire that in our life. But for us Christians, our portion, I believe, is found in the person that he's talking about here in this passage. He said, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." And you do realize that the Jehovah, that capital L-O-R-D, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And so that we, for us as Christians, I believe the person of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be our portion, and that ought to be what we want in our lives, is to have a relation with Jesus that will fulfill every need and the desire I believe that we have in our life. And when we discover the Lord as the person and our portion, I believe we'll discover that He is all we need. No matter what's going our way, whether things are going wrong, whether they're going right, I believe when we find that out, we'll discover that Jesus is all I need. I like that song, "He's all I need," this evening. And many times, though, we find ourselves in situations where all we have left is the Lord. We don't have nowhere else to turn. I mean, we have nowhere else to go. We have no person that we can go to. And it just gets tough in our life. Then we see not only the portion, the person, then we see the prayer. The prayer, he said, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." We see, notice here, the who that was entreated. The who that was entreated. He had said, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me." He was entreating the Lord. That word entreat means to ask earnestly, to ask sincerely. And notice not only though, the who that was entreated, but also the how the psalmist entreated here. He said he entreated with his whole heart. The reason I'm afraid we don't get the things we pray for a lot of times because we're not praying with our whole heart. Hey, we're not entreating the Lord. We're not begging Him. We're not pleading with Him. We're not seeking Him in earnestness of our heart. And we pray half-heartedly, and we get half-heartedly a lot of times. We don't pray according to the will of God. And I believe the words here, "whole heart," are used 13 times here in the Bible, and all of which or in the Old Testament. These words are used 9 times in the book of Psalms, and there's 6 of those 9 times are found in the chapter 119 here, that's before. Notice how these words are used in Psalms. Psalms 111 verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Psalms 119 verse 2. He said, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." So if you want to be happy, if you want to have a blessing, I believe we'd have to say with the psalmist and have to do what the psalmist says here, that we would seek Him with the whole heart. And Psalms 119 verse 10 said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandment." Psalms 119 verse 34 said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse 58 of 119, he says, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." So at verse 69, he said, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Psalms 119, 145 said, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statute." Psalms 138 verse 1, the psalmist said, I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. The words, all thine heart, come from the same Greek word, they tell us. And too many today, I believe, are searching and observing, they're obeying, hey, they're servicing, and they're half-heartedly instead of with their whole heart. And we find that today, that's what's wrong with this world. Hey, this world goes to church, they go through the motions a lot of times. Hey, but, you know, they're doing it half-heartedly. They're not seeking God with their whole heart. And I believe these days that we too, as God's people, we should be entreating the Lord with our whole heart. We ought to entreat the Lord with our whole heart about our lost loved one. Hey, we ought to entreat the Lord with our whole heart about the empty pews that's in the house of God. Hey, we ought to seek the Lord with our whole heart about putting someone in our path, hey, that we can witness to, that we can be a light, that we can be an influence in seeing someone saved. I'm afraid that's why we don't see people and we don't come into contact with folks a lot of times, because we're not praying with our whole heart. Hey, and a lot of times we're not looking with our whole heart. We're half-heartedly, and to be honest, a lot of times I'm afraid, hey, that we're just scared that we are going to run up on somebody. And that's a big factor in being able to witness people, is to not to have a fear of man and to have the fear of God in our lives, and to pray that God would put someone in our path that we could be a blessing to. And we're going to have to do it with our whole heart this evening. So we see not only the psalmist's conviction, hey, but then secondly, we see the psalmist's commitment here. We see the psalmist's commitment. Commitment is a word that most people struggle with. Most people have a problem with commitment. I mean, it's been said that people have said the greatest ability is dependability, and that is a good quality, but I believe probably the greatest is ability. Ability is availability. Someone is willing to commit to the cause of Christ. Somebody that's always willing to be available for His use, for His blessing. Hey, to be able to be that person that could influence someone else. And it's going to take commitment. And it's going to have to start with choosing. It's going to have to start as Joshua challenged Israel over there in Joshua, the last chapter there, chapter 24, I believe it was around verse 15, he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. If God be God, then serve Him. And if there's ever been a time, hey, that people need to choose what they want to do and who they're going to serve, I believe it's the day and hour that we're living in. If there's ever been a time we need to be committed to the cause of Christ, I believe it's the day in which we're living. And I believe there's too many that you can depend on them not to making themselves available at all to do anything and to accomplish anything for Christ. But we see, we live in a world where lack of commitment's all around us. I mean, people even used to would be committed in some things. Even lost people would be willing to commit their lives and to something good. Hey, but we're living in a world that lacks commitment in everything, in our marriages. I mean, we see the divorce rate. Hey, people got the idea and the mentality, well, I'll get married, and if it don't work out, hey, we'll just get a divorce. We'll go our separate ways. And I believe I've mentioned this before, the divorce rate percentage among evangelical Christians is over 50%. And that should never be. People that's in church ought to be able to commit to the marriage that they make one to another, those vows that they give one to another in their life, in their marriage, to keep their marriage together. So many people go into it with the idea, well, if it don't work out, we'll just part ways and go our own way. Not only people are uncommitted in their marriages, but people are uncommitted in church. I mean, that's why churches are so empty. I mean, all around us we see people that are uncommitted. I mean, when people join churches and the excitement wears off, they decide the commitment is too much and they find another place. Some people make the circuit. They go into a place and there's a lot of excitement going on. There's a lot of things that's taking place. But they stay there 2 or 3 years and then when they something happens, they get their little feelings hurt or they get mad, whatever you want to say. Hey, they move on to another place. Why? Because they were uncommitted. I mean, if you're in a church, I believe we ought to be committed until the Lord gets through with us and not give Him credit for a false way out a lot of times. I said this a long time ago back under after 9-1-1. The Holy Ghost gets a lot of blame for a lot of things He's not involved in. I mean, you see signs after 9-1-1, the beer joints and everything. Pray for America, you know, and crazy things like that. And I've seen signs about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost that He had nothing to do with. But we find a lot of times people will use that as an out and say, well, the Lord just told me to leave. In reality, they told themselves to leave. They were uncommitted. Because when God puts you in a place, I believe He expects us to be committed to that place. And I believe the Christian life requires commitment. I preach a message sometimes why I serve the Lord. I serve Him because I want to. I mean, God put a desire in my heart to serve Him. But so many people, hey, they get saved, the new wears off of it, a little something happens, and they quit. Well, it don't matter what happened, there's no reason to quit. Hey, we serve the Lord because there ought to be a want to. Hey, there ought to be a commitment in our lives that we're going on with Him. And then the second thing, I serve Him because I ought to. I mean, the people I come into contact with every day, that they know who you are. They know the profession that you've made. Hey, they know that you go to church. You know, when we don't be that committed person that we should be, I mean, we're bringing dishonor to God. I serve Him because I want to. I serve Him because I ought to. And I'm serving Him because I'm afraid not to. Well, I'm telling you, if you're really saved, hey, God expects us to stay true to Him. He expects us to be committed. Hey, He expects us to have some convictions in our life about some things. And if you don't never try to develop convictions, I promise you, hey, you'll never have no conviction. And if you don't never develop some commitment in your life, you'll never be committed to anything. It don't matter what it is. Some people they're not even committed in a job. They can't find a job just because they just don't want to commit to anything. So we see the psalmist's commitment here. We see number one, verse 59, and I'll move on. We see his reflection in verse 59. He said, "I thought on my ways. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." The first step, I believe, in our commitment is to reflect and to think on our ways. Where are we in our Christian life? Where are we in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, are we walking with Him or are we walking the way of the world? Are we allowing the Word of God to get in us and to compel us to think, hey, the way that we're living and how we should be living? This Bible will tell you how to live. He says, "Come out among the world and be ye separate," saith the Lord. Hey, it's very few Christians that's living a separated, consecrated, dedicated life today. Separation is probably one of the most neglected doctrinal teachings in the Word of God anymore. Most people have got this attitude, "Hey, I'm saved. God don't require nothing of me. I'm saved. That's all that matters. Hey, I'm going to heaven." And that's great. But I'm going to tell you, his reflecting, he said, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony." So we see not only his reflection in verse 59, but we see his repentance there in verse 59. He said, "Turned my feet unto thy testimony." Turn means to change direction. You know, if God shows you something, if it's wrong in your life, hey, you know what y'all do? Repent. Repentance is a lifelong thing. And we have seen the doctrine of repentance, hey, that's been taken out of salvation. I mean, the Bible says repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, repentance and faith go hand in hand. Hey, repentance is a change of mind about your sin, about yourself, and about the Savior. And it's a turning around and going in a different direction in your life. And it's a continual matter that takes place in our lives from the day that we get saved. Notice it was to the testimonies here that the psalmist turned to. It would seem to imply that the psalmist did always love the Word of God and didn't always obey the Word of God, though. And so many of us are like that. It would seem to imply that the psalmist did always love the Word of God and didn't always obey the Word of God. Do you ever find yourself like that? You really love the Word of God, but in reality, you don't always do what the Bible says? Well, when we see that and we think of on our ways, we need to repent and we need to change that direction in which we're going in. His reflection led to his repentance. And then we see the result there in verse 60. He said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Someone once said, sound convictions sweep away all procrastination. Sound convictions sweep away all procrastination. And I believe when we really have a commitment, we'll do away with excuses and delays in our lives. Matthew was confronted by the Lord Jesus, and when he said unto him, he said, follow me. In the next verse, the Bible tells us he rose and followed Jesus. Zacchaeus, he was sitting in a tree, and the Lord said, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house today. The Bible says he made haste and came down. Hey, that's the kind of response that we're to give when God calls us. Hey, we ought to hear the Word of God and respond quickly. James put it like this, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. A lot of times we hear it, but we don't want to do it. And if we don't want to do it, it's usually because we've not made a commitment in our life, hey, that what God shows us and what God tells us to do that we're going to do. And then that leads us here to the third thing, the psalmist's company. The psalmist's company, there in verses 61 to 62. The Bible said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Understand, the companions one keeps often influences and affects one's commitments and convictions and their character. You will be what you hang out with. If you lay down with the dogs, you get fleas on you. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 3 says, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33, the Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Hey, you can't hang around with people of the world and then not get off on you. Hey, you go to places where they go and you sit down where they're drinking, and the next thing you know, hey, you'll lose your influence or you'll be participating in what they're participating in. A lot of times bad association leads to wrong desires. When you see them and the things that they're doing, hey, if you're not careful, you'll develop the desires that they have. Hey, the conversations that that are sort of shady a lot of times, you'll be involved in them. You'll be listening to them. You'll be laughing at them. Bad association lead to wrong desires. It offers bad directions a lot of times. There's a lot of people that's got messed up because they got hanging around with the wrong crowd. And then it leads to a lack of discernment. I mean, God has, if you stay in God's Word, you stay in God's house, you stay around the right kind of people, I'm going to tell you, it'll splash out on you, and it'll cause you to have the right kind of discernment. But you begin to hang around, hey, with the wrong crowd, the wrong kind of people, and it leads to a lack of discernment. And a lot of people have filled an early grave because they didn't have the right kind of discernment. They got in the right, wrong kind of place, the wrong car or something with somebody, hey, that was maybe drinking or something else and got in trouble. It often results in defilement. I could tell you some stories of a church in Hall County where some of the ladies, women, got to go into Florida, and a lot of them lost their marriages. They got to hanging around and going to the wrong places. They were fellowshipping the wrong kind of people, and I'm going to tell you, hey, it resulted in defilement of their lives. Some of them were close friends of ours that we had hung around with. They're divorced today. And others nearly lost their marriages. So was another, several of them lost their marriages because they got to going and doing the thing. Hey, women ain't, you know, men either one ain't got no business going off to Florida to the beach and hanging out with a worldly crowd and their husbands and their mate not around. That's not popular today, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen it happen in Baptist churches. And women got in trouble and lost their family. It causes divisions among family and friends a lot of times. It destroys our testimony. It destroyed them ladies, a lot of them's testimony up there. And I've said this, one of those ladies in particular, hey, I've heard her testify, and it sounded like she had the touch of God on her before, and she lost everything. She lost her husband. She lost her son. He got involved in drugs because mama wasn't around probably because daddy was doing the wrong things too. It destroys our testimony. I mean, they used to be. They used to be a godly person. They used to be a Christian. They used to be faithful. They used to have a testimony that they loved God. Get in trouble pretty quick and you don't mean to sometimes. And it can even lead to death. It can even lead to death. Bad association. Got to watch what you do. Got to watch where we go if we're going to have fine favor with God. Hey, God wants us to be His people, His peculiar people. Those people that He's saved and He's given the name of Christian. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Hey, if you're saved this evening, hey, you are a Christian and you're representing a great Savior this afternoon. And here's the psalmist stated, may we too entreat the Lord with our whole heart. Think on our ways and make haste to keep the Lord's commandments. Then we will have a reason to rejoice and praise God in our life. Finding favor with God. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I wonder, are we entreating God with our whole heart this evening to find favor in Him, with Him, to live for Him, to walk with Him, to have the testimony that we love God? Are we careful the places we go? We ought to think on our ways. The Bible said when a man's ways please God, it caused even his enemies to be at peace with him. What better thing to have than peace with people that's around you? People know that you love God, that you are a Christian, that you are a person that has the favor of God in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this evening. Lord, we thank You for these that have turned out tonight. Lord, I pray for those that are unable to be here. Lord, I pray that You'd meet the needs of those. And God, I just pray that You'd help our church here. Lord, help us, Lord, as Your people, that we would take serious the Word of God, apply it to our lives, Lord, and to try to be a person that would have the favor of God in our lives on a regular basis, not just sporadically here and there and now and then, but help us to look at our ways and to search our hearts, Lord, and seek You with our whole heart as the psalmist did here in this passage of Scripture, Father. Have Your way. Go with us, go separate ways, Lord. I pray that You'd meet back with us on Sunday, God. Help us, Lord, to stay true to You through this week, Father. We love You. Thank You for Your many blessings. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, amen.